It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Greetings, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Hey, this week tackling kind of a difficult subject. You've talked about this in the past. But, of course, coming through these last year and a half or so with the pandemic, addictions are on the rise. And you're talking about the addiction of pornography this
right.
week and how this is affecting people.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this before, and it hasn't gone away. it's still a problem. And, you know, it kind of goes in waves in counseling. So I'll get, like, a number of people that have a certain issue that we talk about, and a lot of times that becomes things that I the thing I talk about on the show. I think probably that the big question for people that have a problem with pornography and their spouses, because often it's you know, you hear about it when in a marriage context, the question is there hope? You know, can I or can my spouse get free from this? Because it's so pervasive in society, and as you brought out, the COVID has brought an escalation. So you know, why would that be? Well, because addictions are fear based. They're anger behaviors. They have to do with the lack of a sense of value, lack of a sense of control. We've talked about these things before. We'll get into them a little bit here as the show goes on. When we talk about control, I don't mean controlling other people, but control of things that circumstances that impact my life. And if you listen to any of the news at all, you know there are so many things that it just feels like we have no control.
Yeah, very anxious times
over those things. So then we see the fear rising. And a sense of, so I say, of value, control, and power, or you could say power or resources. And, you know, as we see prices escalating for one thing, we wonder, do we have the resources to, you know, to offset the increase? And so there's a lot of this fear that's generated basically because of that. And fear drives the addictions because, of course, addictions are coping mechanisms. These are the ways that we escape.
Now, porn is what's called more of a behavioral addiction. Mm-hmm. We think of addictions a lot of times more as substance abuse, alcohol, and drugs. But porn gets into the kind of controversial area of behavioral addictions, gambling addiction, spending addiction. And so you do agree that there is such a thing as a behavioral addiction.
Right. Yeah, because it is a coping mechanism. I guess it would depend somewhat on how you define an addiction, but you know, I find define an addiction as this is a behavior that's chronic. It's typically we don't think of beneficial behaviors as addictions.
Like exercise.
Mm-hmm. That they could be, but we typically don't think of them that way. I suppose you could think of exercise as an escape mechanism, but we typically don't associate that with an addiction. I mean, you can only exercise so much, and then it's time to rest. So, but yeah. These become they're chemically addicted in the sense that they are addictive because they're promoting certain neurology in the brain that's very pleasant. You know, we know about dopamine is usually associated with addictions, and so I want to go back a little bit to this that all addictions are responses to fear and shame. So we've talked about that before, and as I said just briefly, fear has to do with value, control, and power or resources. And we all have that same fear. From time to time, for different people, it escalates for different reasons. But we all have that same fear, and that's based in the fact that we're mortal. You know, the scripture that says perfect love casts out fear, and of course that perfect love has to do with reliance on Christ, and that's the love that's God's love. And so that love casts out fear because fear is tied to our mortality and our frailty. But the love of God is our confidence and our resource. So, yeah, we all have that fear because we're all mortal, and we all have a degree of shame because shame is also associated with the sense of value, control, and power resources. Shame is an internalized message of lack of worth, or if you're familiar with John Bradshaw's writings, he says that shame is the emotion that reminds us we're mortal. And that takes us right back to that sense of value, control, and power. So that is the root, in very basic terms. That's the root of addiction. And, of course, porn addiction is no different at all. It has to do with that lack of value, control, power, and also shame.
So is there such a thing as an addictive personality then?
Yeah. So we've got this... a lot of times we hear that almost as an excuse, you know, mm-hmm. Well, I've got an addictive personality. Mm-hmm. I think any personality can be addictive, but when we use that, because anybody at some given time will have a device that they use to escape shame and fear. But addictive personality means this is a person who could be addicted and typically is addicted in numerous ways. But this belongs to a person, of course, who has a lot of fear and shame, and they don't have any healthy way of dealing with it, because we have to we do have to deal with our fear and shame, but we need to find healthy ways. Of course, Scripture speaks in depth to all this, mm-hmm. Doesn't it? Yeah.
How does Scripture speak to this? Because it seems like the term addiction is pretty much a newer phenomenon. We used to mm-hmm. just say people were... Mm-hmm. We're sinners or drunks yeah. or whatever, or, you know, or adulterers. Mm-hmm. But now we've kind of medicalized it and made it a sickness as opposed to a sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that scripture I like, the one in Hebrews 12, 1, and I've quoted that on the radio a lot, and that is, scripture about laying aside every weight and the sins that so easily beset us and running the race set before us. So part of that... you know, if you don't have a, and also Proverbs, this reminds me of Proverbs. I was just about to say, without a progressive vision, the people wander aimlessly, or they wander in circles. And, you know, we even refer to the addictive cycle. Mm. People wander in circles, okay. or they wander aimlessly if they mm-hmm. don't have a progressive vision. Mm-hmm. The scripture speaks to it in many ways, taking every thought captive. Taking thoughts captive is essential to breaking an addiction.
What about, we see this thing with alcohol, going back to that, it's kind of the one that started off this addictive mm-hmm. talking. Some people can have a drink and it doesn't bother them. They don't have to keep, but then there are other people who could just have one drink and they're just off to the races. Mm-hmm. So is that, what's going on there? Why can some people drink and some people can't?
Yeah, and this is similar to pornography too, because you say, you can see that some people can have a thought, a pornographic thought, and just dismiss it. Mm-hmm. But whereas other people, the pornographic thought, it's just like it's accelerated.
So what's going on there with that person then?
Well, again, no purpose, no healthy way of dealing with it, because we all have those. We all have a sinful nature, and if we don't have some kind of progressive vision, a purpose, you know, perfect love, and that the Greek word used there is agape, although I believe that the perfect love extends beyond agape. Agape is just a Greek word that most closely describes God's unconditional selfless love. But, of course, even the Greek language doesn't do justice to the love of God. Perfect love even goes beyond agape love. You know, part of God's perfect love, I think, is associated with sexual intimacy. Any love that is pure, any love that's not selfish, any love that's not for self-gain or for self-gratification, any love can be part of God's perfect love.
So then how does porn addiction get started then?
Yeah, this is the question a lot of people probably puzzle over. And I guess it's pretty self-evident, too, though, if we give it some thought. The high risk group, of course, would be the adolescent group, the teens, the young people going through puberty. And And that's an aspect that's common to all kids. So when kids are going into, and that's why even this, the transgender stuff, these kids are the high risk for that, because there's so much need during those years. There's so many things changing, and a child's perception of himself or herself is changing.
Yeah, just natural curiosity.
Very natural curiosity. And it's sexual because of the way the body is changing. So the hormones are changing. The neurotransmission is changing in the brain. And so these are the high risk people. But we can add to that, not everyone that goes through puberty comes out of it with a sex addiction. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference here? Well, so the high-risk people also have this common kind of element or a commonness where they don't excel in some meaningful area, some relevant area. And what I mean by that is, when I talk about value, control, and power, and I talk about everyone has a need to be valued, we want to be valued with the people that we value in terms of something of value. I don't think there would be much benefit in telling a teenager that he ties his shoes well.
Okay.
I mean, so it has to be something of value in with people that to people that we value. And so when we have kids that don't excel in what would those areas be? Well, they could be academic, they could be athletic, they could be artistic, but something that's of musical, something that's of value to the peer group.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't excel in some way,
they're sitting duck.
They're kind of a sitting duck. Mm. Excellence in that regard. Relevant excellence, it tends to open up social doors, and it promotes self-acceptance and a healthy self-image because you're valued in the community.
Mm-hmm.
The control, by excelling, you have some control over how people feel about you.
Mm.
Resources, by excelling in some area, this is a resource that you can use to promote a sense of value for yourself. So the lack of those things, that's where you generate the fear and the shame. And so from the fear and the shame, you can have a preoccupation with sex. Now, the reason would be because I'm going to allude to a model that I have where I say your world is either growing or shrinking all the time. Life is a pursuit of value, control, and power. And if you're failing in that pursuit and your world is, in a sense, getting smaller and smaller, you're shutting people out. You're withdrawing, retreating from relationships and challenges. And so this is where we find people in addictions, when they've retreated from relationships and challenges.
Mm.
Maybe they look at sex as their strong suit. You know, this is, I can't do anything else, but I can be a sexy guy or a sexy gal. So, and then plus the dopamine benefit that they get from sexual thoughts. And so they're kind of stacking the deck in that regard against. Mm-hmm. Got a couple more points to go when we come back from the break, along with how does this porn get started.
Okay, the porn addiction, the subject this week with Daniel Pryor. And if you're struggling with this, maybe you've got a young person in your family, needs some help. Daniel works a lot with people who are struggling with addictions and pornography addiction. He might be able to help you. If people need help, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Offices, Kirkland and Edmonds, also doing Skype counseling for people that are far out or have other complications. And also people contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find this and many other shows in the podcast.
And offices where again?
Kirkland and Edmonds.
Kirkland and Edmonds. Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal, or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel discussing the subject of pornography addiction this week. He works a lot with people on this subject, and we're kind of talking kind of the beginnings of this, how porn addiction gets started.
Mm-hmm. So we covered, we're talking about largely the adolescent groups and teens, people going through puberty in the first part of the show. Moving on to another point, family of origin has a lot to do with stacking the deck against a person in this high-risk group because parental values are passed on. A situation years ago that I dealt with a young kid who had just a real filthy mouth and hard to control, I could understand his anger because he came from a very dysfunctional parental situation, father out of the house, mother confused in relationships, and that I said to the mother, I can understand why your son is angry, but what about the sexual component? Was he molested? So we went back and forth, and it took several sessions. I couldn't believe that the report she was giving me, it just seemed so squeaky clean, and I just couldn't believe it. And finally, I asked her, probably after a dozen times I'd ask her, half a dozen times I'd ask her, did your husband have pornography? And she would, no. And then finally, well, of course, she said, but he kept it locked up. And you don't do that. You know, if it's a value that you have, you can't lock it up. And so.
Yeah, I would think particularly with boys, well, I guess girls too, but boys, so often that's the common denominator. Mm-hmm. Dad had his magazines and the kids are curious and they get him as much as you might think they're stashed away somewhere. Mm-hmm. The kids find it.
And even if the dad, even if you never saw dad's pornography, you certainly see the way that he treats mom and the way that he treats other women with disrespect and condescension and that kind of thing that quite often goes along with that. Well, I'd say it always goes along with it. You can be condescending and disrespectful without pornography, but you can't have pornography and not be condescending and disrespectful. Mm. Relational weaknesses, and that's what I've just been talking about. A third point would be unhealthy reliance on sex that defines the self, which I spoke about earlier, where if I can't succeed at anything else and I've got this powerful sex drive that's even more powerful because I can't succeed at other things, and so I rely on that to define me instead of excellence in some other way. The practice of that actually goes further to alienate a person from social groups, because I just remember going through junior high, if a guy got a bad reputation, you didn't want to associate with them because you'd be guilty by association. So that kind of behavior further alienates you and increases, increased rejection.
Now you're talking about pornography addiction. Does this also apply then to people who are really overactive sexually with other people? Because pornography is kind of a solo kind of thing. But then there's also people who are just having multiple dalliances and going to prostitutes and different things like that. Of course, kids aren't so much with that, but it does develop into they're just having multiple sexual activity.
Yeah, so the pornography is in the mind. I mean, we think of pornography as magazines, but the image in the mind is
I think of pornography, a sex person who's acting out as opposed to somebody who's more inward.
Yeah.
Does that more just have to do with someone's introvert versus extrovert kind of personality, the way it focuses that?
That or? And opportunity. Mm-hmm. People can, as I say, playing to their strong suit. If they feel that sexual prowess is their strong suit, it'll be more outward. Mm-hmm. If they're not so confident in it, mm-hmm. it will be more of an inward thing. And this leads to a bit of this, just expanding on this last point, the unhealthy reliance on that. Mm-hmm. This increases a certain hatred or animus toward the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. If a person is not pursuing some meaningful excellence in their in the context of their peer group, their genre, and they're relying on just this sexual behavior for their maybe attention-getting behavior, but also people who are not particularly attractive to the opposite sex, they're growing an animus towards mm-hmm. the opposite mm-hmm. sex because of the rejection.
Mm-hmm. And I would think this would be the seeds then for other forms of mm-hmm. – I mean, I think homosexuality basically is a sexual addiction mm-hmm. and all of these other things, mm-hmm. Transgender stuff. They're mm-hmm. all confusion regarding sexual
behavior. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And then so we're talking about in so far we've been kind of concentrating on young people, but then – as we grow into adulthood and we don't get rid of these behaviors, then the sexual behavior continues to increasingly become an abusive thing, misused and abused, emotional abuse. I see a lot of couples where if sexual issues aren't cleared up, these youthful lusts and things aren't understood and overcome, they become issues in a married couple's intimacy. You know, I've heard, you know, people, couples that will refrain from sexual intimacy because it's demeaning. Mm. And that's a message that's being sent while they're trying to be sexually intimate. There's someone is sensing disrespect or aggression or something mm-hmm. like that. So. Mm-hmm. So the opposite sex then is seen somewhat as a threat, and although you know they maybe don't speak of it that way, but the sexual behavior becomes almost a weapon. It becomes weaponized. It's I've heard couples say that this is the way we resolve our conflicts or our arguing, which is not a good idea because then it becomes, it almost becomes an anger management tool. Mm. That's not a particularly loving thing. So,
and a lot of people too enter marriage thinking it's going to help their porn mm-hmm. problem. Mm-hmm. And they think it'll, as soon as I get married, I won't have a problem with porn anymore.
Yeah. But porn isn't part of perfect love, and the love that you want in marriage is something that's more sacrificial, other-centered, and pornography is very self-centered. So a person with a pornography problem is a self-centered person. Getting married is not going to solve that mm-hmm. issue. Interesting here that the power of the addiction, because some people have more of a struggle with it than others, the power of the addiction is tied to the degree of fear and shame that's stored up because of that lack of a sense of value, control, and power. And then the addiction itself increases shame because it's a shameful behavior. Not so much, unfortunately, today in society as it used to be. Mm. I mean, so many things that used to be totally taboo are almost fashionable today. Right, right. It's such a shame. Mm. So, but yeah, the power of the intenseness of the hold that this addiction has on us is tied to the degree of fear and shame. The more fear, the more shame, the more we rely on the pornography as an escape mechanism from that.
Yeah, it's kind of a cruel cycle because you feel like the pornography is what's causing the shame, but then to get rid of the shame, you've got to do more pornography, and it's just a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anxiety and depression, now those have to do with the lack of value, control, and power. So anxiety and depression are relieved with the thought of pornography. And that causes that causes a secretion of some neurotransmitters that then go back and reinforce the pornography, the loop that you were talking about, the pornographic cycle, and probably don't have enough time to get into these on this show, but mark it down on your calendar for next time. We're going to be talking about dopamine, But we're also going to be talking about a couple of other neurotransmitters that are extremely interesting and they're associated with sex. They're called the peptides of love and fear. You might say, how can you associate love and fear? So we're going to be talking about how closely love and fear are tied together and in the context of sex. And it's going to explain a lot to us about the grip of pornography as we move forward.
So some actual body chemistry that contributes to this.
Exactly.
Okay. Interesting discussion this week. Just getting started on this difficult subject of pornography addiction. And is there hope? Can you get out of this? Well, Daniel works with a lot of people on this issue and helps a lot of people, adults, young people. And if you have some people in your life who are struggling with this, Daniel would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Offices Kirkland and Edmonds. People also contact me through the website where you're going to find this show and others in the podcasts. I'm also doing some Skype counseling for people that are out of ways and have transportation difficulties or scheduling difficulties. I think that covers it.
Okay, Sound Mind Broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.